If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Don't you hate it when you get a lopsided water? What happens? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to read a passage here from Luke chapter 24 in a second. But I just wanted to welcome you. A lot of guests here. I'm Pastor Jim. A lot of you don't recognize me because I'm wearing a suit and a tie. So a lot of church members are like, who are you? But you know, I figure if Jesus can get out of the tomb, I can put on a tie one day a year. So very excited for you to be here with us. We had a Good Friday service that was beautiful, very moving. And then this morning we had, we've already had two church services. We had a sunrise service. We had church at Robeson Ranch that was packed full of people. And so now we're glad you were here. We had to pull out chairs. And so this is a great day. And so I appreciate it. I wanted to share this with you real quick before we get started. This is a little girl. She's a kindergartner. Her name is Dossie. And Dale and Donna Metz's granddaughter. And so this is a picture of her. You can't see it really because it's too far away. But she has written her favorite Bible verse. And I wanted to share it with you because it's very moving. For God so loved the world, he gave his one in, the letter N, only son to save us. S-A-F-E. And whoever believes will have a turtle life. So, I'm gonna give you an invitation at the end of church. If you don't have a turtle life and you want a turtle life, I want to pray with you. Isn't that sweet? I was laughing earlier today. I mean, you know, when you have autocorrect, have anybody ever gotten in a bad situation where you type something and it autocorrects for you? And I was remembering a couple of years ago, one of our pastors put out on social media, crust is risen. And so for the next year, we kept saying, crust is risen indeed. All right, enough with the jokes. Luke chapter 24, 1 through 6, I'm going to read it for you. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb bringing the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were there, perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. And so the women were terrified, and they bowed down to the ground. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Asked the men. He is not here, but he has risen. All right, so in a moment here, we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But before we get going, did everybody get a coffee bean? So we were supposed to get a coffee bean when you came in. And you need it for an illustration. And so anybody that wants a coffee bean that didn't get one, just raise your hand. I got an extra one. Here's one. So need a coffee bean this morning. Take out your coffee bean when you get it. Thank you. We got awesome deacons running around here. Some folks over here on the left side, or my left side, your right side. All right. Here you go. Got a coffee bean. Getting a coffee bean. What'd you do when you got it? Do you smell it? You get upset because it wasn't chocolate covered because they did at Robeson. Anybody taste it? Anybody put it in their mouth? All right. Well, it's yours. It's our gift to you. You can do with it whatever you want. But I want to tell you about a special kind of coffee. It is the most expensive coffee in the world. It is called Kopi Luwak. It only comes from one region of the world. It's found in Indonesia, the island of Sumatra. They used to call that island Java, which is where we get the nickname for coffee. Anyway, the Kopi Luwak coffee is pretty fancy. It goes for $250 to $300 a pound. It's so expensive, they only sell it by the ounce. Kopi is the Indonesian word, K-O-P-I. Kopi is the Indonesian word for coffee. And luwak is Indonesian and describes how we get the coffee. The luwak is a type of cat called a civet cat. It's a nocturnal animal that wanders around freely in the island of Sumatra. And Kopi Luwak, the coffee, is sometimes called civet coffee. The cat's about the size of a fox, and he is the hipster barista of the animal kingdom, or if you're my age, he's the Juan Valdez of the animal kingdom. And apparently this cat likes to roam around at night and eat coffee beans. Not just any coffee bean, because he is a coffee snob. He only picks and eats the very best. He'd rather die than have the coffee beans that we serve here at church. And once the luwak eats the perfect bean and then digests it, the cherry ferments as it passes through the animal's intestines. And each morning, the Indonesians harvest the bean that had passed through the cat in its fecal matter. Did anyone even put the bean in their mouth? Well, don't worry. We couldn't afford Kopi Luwak. I think this is Kroger Luwak or something. So imagine that. The best coffee in the world, $300 a pound, found in the dung of a civet cat. So I think that's amazing how God works. You see that same thing, same phenomenon throughout the animal kingdom. Do you know what honey is? Honey is when bees process and digest flower nectar and they regurgitate it. And you get honey. In Asia, ladies sometimes will paint their faces with white paint to make themselves look beautiful. Know what that paint is? Nightingale stuff. You like mushrooms? You don't. It's fungus. Yeah, they are gross. Did you know there's no such thing as a sardine? A sardine is the name given to about 21 different species of small trash fish that the fisheries can't sell. They don't want to get rid of, so they call them sardines. Here's my favorite, the dove. Really, the dove is just a smaller version of a trash bird called a pigeon. And God chose the symbol of the third person of the Trinity as a trash bird. Interesting. Trash turned into treasure. Jesus taught using mustard seed. Today I'm using a coffee bean. The whole gospel is found in that coffee bean. Where was Jesus born? He was born in a trash place in the universe called Bethlehem. It wasn't a great capital city. It wasn't in a temple. It wasn't in a palace. He was born in a stable, a place you might find mushrooms growing. Where did Jesus die? He was crucified in a place called Golgotha, the place of the skull. And some scholars say that that was the garbage dump for the city of Jerusalem. So imagine the first and last smells of Jesus' life on this earth was the stench of garbage. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I told y'all to turn and I didn't even do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 25. God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, consider your calling. Not many were wise from a human perspective. Not many powerful. not many of noble birth. Instead, God has chosen what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God has chosen what is insignificant and despised in the world, what is viewed as nothing, to bring to nothing what is viewed as something, so that no one may boast in his presence. It is from him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became our wisdom from God for our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts in the Lord. So look at that passage again and hear the power in those words. God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Paul says, brothers and sisters, consider your calling. Consider what sort of people God has called. And this is a moment for you to look around and see your neighbor. Maybe even judge them a little bit, just a little bit. Look at us. Not many of us are wise by human standards. Few of us have any power to speak of. None of us have silver spoons. And yet, to shame the wise, God has chosen what the world considers foolish. To shame the strong, God has chosen what the world considers weak. God has taken us, the lowly and the despised, and he's made something out of nothing. I mean, it's a backhanded compliment. I get it. God's made something out of nothing. So there's no place for human boasting. There's no place for human pride in the presence of God. Everything good about us is his doing. He did it all. His righteousness, his holiness, his redemption given to us. He turned trash into treasure. And that's why, my friends, the gospel is found in this coffee bean. God turns wisdom, our natural human wisdom, inside out, upside down, topsy-turvy, flips it over. It's counterintuitive. The scriptures tell us if we want to be first, we must be. If we want to be great, we must serve others. If we want to be wise, we have to become like little children. If we want to gain our lives, we must lose them. If we want to be strong, we must be weak. If we want to live to God, then we must die to ourselves. Why? Because the gospel is about taking what is most weak, most despised, what is contemptible in our lives, and through the redemptive work of Jesus on the cross, by the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit, making those things powerful and beautiful, redeemed. That's what happened at Easter. Our Savior dying on the cross, the most excruciating, shameful, humiliating death, spit upon, beaten, mocked. He didn't fight back. He didn't even speak in his own defense. We're told he was like a lamb led to the slaughter. He died with what others observing, onlookers might have thought was a whimper. They didn't know any better. Christ redeemed us, Paul says, from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Because it is written, cursed is everyone who's hung on a tree. But we're here this morning because we know the story doesn't end there. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen. We're here today to celebrate the resurrection. God, in his redemptive power, took the ugliness of the cross and used it for his purposes. He overpowered it by his power. He overshadowed it by his glory. He took something that is a symbol of a curse and has made it beloved to us. This is the most beautiful symbol in all of the world because it means somebody gave their life for you. It's not what it was intended to be, but that's the power of the gospel, taking something and redeeming it. The story of the gospel is that whatever trash is in your life, God can turn to buried treasure. Your trash cans can become treasure chests. The Hebrew word for hell is Sheol. The Hebrew word for heaven is Shiloh. Through God's redemptive power, He can take your Sheols and turn them to Shilohs. Imagine you're a musician. What's the worst thing that could possibly happen to you? You go deaf. The last 12 years of Ludwig von Beethoven's life, he spent deaf. Think of the pain and the suffering that he went through. And yet, we know that he composed 4 of his 5 greatest symphonies during that 12-year period. He allowed his suffering and his despair to create some of the most beautiful music ever composed. Trash cans to treasure chests. I'll give you another example. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 12, verse 14, that one of the ultimate insults in the Hebrew world was to spit on someone. In 1957, the Supreme Court ruled, of course, that segregated schools were unconstitutional. And so one of the stories that came out of the civil rights movement is of a little 8-year-old third grader, a little black girl named Thelma, who bravely and heroically began attending a newly integrated school. And so on the first day of class, she showed up in her pretty little pink dress, and the teacher showed her to her desk and said, "Here's your desk, don't sit down yet." And then one by one, each of the children in the class marched by and spit in her seat. "You can sit down now," the teacher said. Spitting, the ultimate insult. Go home later today. Read in Mark chapter 8. What did Jesus do when he healed that blind man? He spit on the dirt and he made mud and he put it in the man's eyes and his vision was restored. Jesus took a symbol of cursing, an insult, and he transformed it into an activity of healing and redemption. It became beautiful, kind of like the crucifixion. Trash to treasure. If you spend any time reading your Bible, you'll see it over and over and over again, from Genesis to Revelation to the book of maps. One preacher says, God turns cursing into curing, belittling into blessing, and burrs into spurs. God turned the curse of being hanged on a tree into forgiveness and salvation. Moses was a murderer. God recycled his anger and he became Israel's greatest leader. Jacob was a liar and a cheat. God recycled his calculating ways and made him the father of a nation. Esther was a harem girl. God recycled her beauty. She saved Israel from the first Holocaust. Ruth was an idol worshiper. God recycled her pain and made her an ancestor of Jesus Christ. David, he was an adulterer. God recycled his passion and made him a great king. Peter was a boastful, swearing fisherman. God recycled his pride and he became the founder of the church. Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. God recycled her love. She became a saint. Zacchaeus was a crooked tax collector. God recycled his greed and he became a disciple. Saul was a persecutor and hater of the church. God recycled his zeal and he became Paul, the greatest missionary in the world. You, what does God want to recycle in you? What's worst in you? What's least in you? What are the dregs? What are the trash cans in your life that God wants to take and turn around and redeem? Turn it inside out, upside down, topsy-turvy, and make it a source of healing. Make it a source of wholeness. Make it a source of redemption. Make it a testimony to the world of how God can take the low and turn it around. He can take the trash in our lives and turn it to treasure. 1823, there was a student at a British school in Warwickshire, England. Okay, the young man's name was William Webb Ellis. He was playing soccer for his school's team. British football. But it's really soccer. So he was playing soccer for his school's team. It was an important rivalry match against the neighboring school. And in the middle of the game, William Webb Ellis had a mental lapse. And he caught the ball with his hands and he began running toward the goal. And instead of cheering, everybody was jeering and laughing. Young student was humiliated. He was embarrassed. William Webb Ellis of Rugby School. Someone was there that day and watched it and saw what William Webb Ellis had done, and he said, "You know what? That's not a bad idea. That could be a new sport." He took that idea and he created this sport, named it for the school where it was begun, rugby. And then we stole it and it became college football, and it is the best. But William Webb Ellis never knew of his accidental creation. He probably would never believe that his mistake would lead to the World Cup trophy for rugby bearing his name. It's called the Ellis Cup. He probably never saw his trash turn into a treasure chest. He probably never thought it was possible. Maybe he didn't know the Easter story. That's the gospel of the coffee bean. That God can take trash and turn it to treasure. Let me ask you this morning, do you believe that God can turn your trash into treasure? Do you believe that the tomb is empty? Do you believe that God can take your Sheols and turn them into Shilohs? That God can take what's worst in your life, what you think is irredeemable, but God can take it, He can recycle it, and turn it into the best part of you. Turn it into your story. Look what God did for me. Brothers and sisters, consider the calling. We're not wise from a human perspective. We're not powerful. We're not of noble birth. We're the foolish in the world. And yet God's chosen us to be examples of His gospel. The pain from your past, God can comfort. The sins that weigh you down, God can deliver you. Your struggling marriage, God can restore it. Sickness and disease, God can heal it. Your financial distress, God can bless you. Last Easter, my wife was in the hospital watching online. And look what He's done. It's called redemption. God promises it to us as His children. Romans 8:28. That God works together all things to good for those who love Him or are called according to His purpose. Not everything that happens to us is good, but He can take even the trash cans in our lives and turn them into treasure chests. I mean, if He can do that with this horrendous crucifixion and turn that into a glorious resurrection, He can turn your trash into treasure as well. Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank You that truly we have nothing to boast about in ourselves. Those of us that know You, know the truth of the gospel of the coffee bean. know the truth of what Paul was saying to the church in Corinth. We weren't special. We didn't do anything to deserve any of your grace, any of your mercy. We certainly didn't do anything to deserve you going to a cross in our place. And so we rejoice today that the cross is not the end of the story. The resurrection is your second coming that we look forward to is the end of the story. The eternal life that we have. I'm sorry, the turtle life. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace, for your mercy. I thank you that you're a redemptive God, that you, this list of Bible characters that were imperfect, that were in many ways failures, you used in your expansion of the kingdom. And so, Lord, I know you can do that in my life, and I know you can do that in every life that is here. So I want to ask you this morning, if you don't know the power of the gospel in your life, you're tired of trash cans, and you're looking for treasure chests, just lift your hand up and let me see it. I'll pray for you. Amen. Amen. Love to speak with you after service. Our elders will be here. We just want to encourage you as you move forward with the gospel, pray for you. So Lord, as we close today, this Resurrection Sunday, we are grateful. We are grateful. We have nothing to brag about except you. And so we brag on you today. We serve a living God, and we give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If I have our prayer team come on up. And if you raise your hand, please give us an opportunity to talk to you before you go out and do your Easter eggs. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you. The Lord give you His peace. Amen.